We have a gospel country singer by the name of Ralph Stanley. I don't know if anybody have ever heard of Ralph Stanley. I really appreciated that. I've never heard John do his bluegrass, and I really, really enjoyed that. There's a gospel song not too many people have heard. It goes a little bit like this. Listen to the engine, listen to the bell, as the last fire truck from hell goes rolling by. It's the last temptation, the last account, the last time you might hear the Sermon on the Mount, last radio's playing. Welcome to the Chinese year of the serpent, and welcome to what is already being called the New Age. Persecution is growing. The cost, Luke 14:28, for which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? What can we expect? What does the Bible say? One, expect persecution. Isaiah 59:15, yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil make himself a prey. I told the story of my starting to depart from evil in the bookstore, man coming in and screaming at me. There's the scripture, he that departeth from evil maketh himself prey. John 15:20, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The response to persecution. Matthew 5:10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. We can read these words, but can we do that in the face of persecution? When Silas and Paul were thrown into the Philippian jail after putting that psychic out of business, and they praised God after being beaten and put in the stocks. I look at that and I go, wow. I mean, we can't do that on our own. But the Lord can get us through. There's a story, Corrie ten Boom, a Dutch gal who ended up in a concentration camp, and she told her father when this was coming down, I'm not ready for this. I can't do this. He said, you can't right now, but when the time comes, God will have you where you need to be. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Matthew 5:44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And we're called negative for trying to do those words of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 4:12, in labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it. 2 Corinthians 4:9, persecuted, but not forsaken. 2 Corinthians 12:10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Psalm 119:161, princes have persecuted me without cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. We're in awe of his word because he told us these things would happen. The thing that's so amazing is that we're hearing some very heavy pronouncements, but there's always this uplifting. It's like in the Psalms where David says, you know, I wept all night, the enemy's upon me, Lord. And then at the end, but you are Lord, you are my strength, you are my defense. There's this, you know, we used to have affirmations in the New Age that were empty. These are two affirmations when we affirm the Lord's strength in our life amidst all this distress. Prayers for persecution. Psalm 7:1. O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. Psalm 119:86. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. Psalm 142:6, attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Number two, expect tribulation. Acts 14:22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. John 16:33, in the world ye shall have tribulation. 1 Thessalonians 3:4, for verily when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. The response to tribulation and trouble. Romans 5:3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. 2 Corinthians 7:4, great is my boldness of speech toward you, great is my glorying of you, I am filled with comfort, I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. Revelation 1:9, I, John, who am also your brother and companion in tribulation. We are companions in tribulation. 2 Corinthians 1:3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us all in our tribulation, that we would be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by God. We comfort others with the comfort that we're given by the Lord. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Matthew 24:6, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. Remember the Jesus calling? Laugh at the future? Will the real Jesus Christ please stand up? He's in the Bible, not in Jesus' calling. Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians 4:8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Deuteronomy 4:30, when thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shalt be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God, he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers which he swore unto them. Prayers. Isaiah 26:24, so let my life be much set in the eyes of the Lord, and let him deliver me out of all tribulation. Psalm 143:11, quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. 3, expect affliction. Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. 1 Thessalonians 3:3, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. It's part of the faith. You don't hear this in too many of the altar calls. And I'm not suggesting that you should necessarily be real heavy in altar calls, but you don't hardly hear it ever in these churches. It would probably make some people leave, and then it would be a different situation for the church itself. I went to a conference in Kansas, and the pastor said he'd been praying with members of the church for elders for like 2 or 3 weeks. They'd been fasting and praying. I said, what are you fasting and praying about? He said, well, you know, we've asked the Lord to just clean out our church, get anybody out of the church that really doesn't belong there. I went, that's interesting, that's different, that's unique, and that's probably really good. Mark 13:19, for those in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created unto this time, neither shall be. Response to affliction. 2 Timothy 1:8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. 2 Timothy 4:5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. He who shall endure to the end shall be saved. 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but through our outward man, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Psalm 119:50, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. And this is the one that I give thanks for. Psalm 119:71, it's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. It's amazing what you learn when you're persecuted and afflicted and under the attack that I was just in that bookstore, even as a non-believer. I was quickly becoming a believer as I read Johanna Michelson's book because it had scripture. Prayer for affliction, Psalm 25:16, turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. Psalm 119:153, consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Isaiah 38:14. This happens to be one of my favorite prayers. I hope if you don't take anything out of this conference, if you take this prayer when you're under any kind of oppression or attack, Isaiah 38:14. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. I can't tell you how many people, including myself, have been helped by that prayer. I can't do it, Lord. Things are really coming down heavy. Undertake for me. Number four, expect suffering. Philippians 1:29, for unto you it is given in behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. 2 Corinthians 1:5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be of the consolation. Response to suffering, Romans 8:17 and 18. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. There's the reality, there's the uplift. The uplift isn't immediate, but it's there for our hope. And Jesus is our hope. 1 Peter 2:20, for what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults that ye shall take it patiently, but if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto where ye were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. 1 Peter 4:13, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. 1 Peter 4:16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. Prayer for suffering, Psalm 30:10, hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. 5, expect grief and sorrow. Ecclesiastes 1:18, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. The more you learn about this world, the sadder it is. The more you learn about the Lord, the more you rejoice in the fact that this world is not our home. Response to grief and sorrow, Psalm 34:18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Matthew 5:4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Ecclesiastes 7:3, sorrow is better than laughter. Well, that's interesting. All those references to laughter in Jesus' calling, love and laugh, laugh at the future. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. Ecclesiastes 7:4, the heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Prayer, Psalm 31:19, have mercy upon me, O Lord. I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. 6, expect temptation and trials. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. The response to temptations and trials, James 1:2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. There's this exhortation in the midst of trials, trouble, suffering, grief, to be patient, to endure it, and to be exceedingly glad, because we have been told this is part of the faith. James 1:2, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And the prayer for temptations and trials, Matthew 6:13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. 7. Expect hatred. Luke 21:17, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Even stronger, Matthew 24:9, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. If we have a peace plan, the one that's been proposed by the New Age, and it goes around the world, and you have to sign on as being a part of God, and we don't sign on, which we won't, and we hinder the peace process, we're going to be hated. And it's the hatred is not of Jesus of Jesus calling, or Jesus of A Course in Miracles, Jesus of the New Age, or Jesus calling. It's Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, who died on the cross for our sins. The real Jesus Christ. He's the one that is hated by the devil and by the world. And he's the one that we stand with. And if this plays out the way that it seems to be playing out, we could very well see this hatred in much more full force in the near future. The response to hatred. Luke 6:22-23. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy. If you're going to do a leap, do that one. Don't do the quantum leap. Do a leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Matthew 5:44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Prayer, Psalm 9:13, have mercy upon me, O Lord, consider my trouble which I suffer of them that hate me, thou that liftest me up from the gates of death. Number 8, expect to be called Satan. Beelzebub is what Jesus used, Satan. Matthew 10:25, it's enough for the disciple that he be as his master and a servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Let me just read you a couple of the comments from these New Age leaders who are supposedly in touch with Christ or God. And these are very powerful people who have best-selling books. They've been on the New York Times bestseller list. Remember, separation versus oneness. Oneness is when you believe God is in everyone. Separation is when you do not. You do not believe that every person is a part of God. This is from Neil Donald Walsh's God. And this is Neil Donald Walsh, the man that Oprah Winfrey says is one of the 10 most memorable men she's ever met. And this is his God. When at last you see that there is no separation in God's world, that is nothing which is not God, then at last will you let go of this invention of man which you have called Satan. Barbara Marx Hubbard's Christ. Your triumph over Satan, that is over the illusion of separation, will be a victory for the universal community. And from Maitreya, and talk about purpose driven. Maitreya says, I shall drive from this earth forever the curse of hatred, the sin of separation. Those who do not believe in their own divinity. He will drive them from the face of the earth. So it's already come. Jesus said that he, you know, we would be called Satan. We already are that's being happening by the Christ and God of the New Age. Our response to being called Satan, Matthew 5:11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice, be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And again, 1 Corinthians 4:12-13, and labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it, being defamed, called Satan, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. We've been warned. It really hit me, this whole thing that happened in Boston, the Boston Marathon, and we find out that these, especially the one that's now deceased, Russia had warned us about this guy. We didn't pay attention to the warnings. I thought it was a really interesting parallel to what's going on right now. There are warnings going out about what's going on, but they're not being heeded by those that are in authority. Prayers, Psalm 25:19, consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Psalm 25:20, oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. 9, expect spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. 1 Peter 5:8, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Response to spiritual warfare. Psalm 59:17, unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy. He is our defense. When we commanded in the name of Jesus Christ, evil fled. Psalm 62:6, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Psalm 5:11, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Ephesians 6:13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Prayer, deliver me from evil. Psalm 22:19, be not far, thou far from me, O Lord, my strength, haste thee to help me. 10, expect fiery trials. 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. The response to fiery trials. 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye not see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You didn't need to have a spiritual experience. You believed. You had faith. Prayer. Psalm 25:17, the troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thee out of my distresses. 11, expect the possibility of being killed for your faith. Matthew 24:9, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. John 16:2, they shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. 2 Corinthians 4:11, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Romans 8:36, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Does he leave it at that? Response to the possibility of being killed. Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. John 16:1-4, these things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known me, the Father, nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. Matthew 2:10, fear none of those things which shall suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Psalm 116, 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Romans 8:37 through 39, and all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Psalm 56:11, in God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do to me. Psalm 118:6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Psalm 3:6, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Psalm 48:14, for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Prayer. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. 12, expect deception. We've certainly heard a lot about that this weekend. Matthew 24:3, and he sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Revelation 12:9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Response to deception. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Acts 17:11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. They didn't sit with a cup of coffee and a pencil and a piece of paper waiting to hear from some spirit what they should do. 1 John 4:1, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets and seducing spirits are gone out into the world. 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Prayer. Psalm 43:1, judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. Next, expect the world to mock you and try to make you ashamed of your faith. Jude 1:8, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. Luke 9:26, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Response to attempts by the world to make you ashamed of your faith. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. Romans 10:11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. We have confidence in the scriptures. We know what's going on. We're not going to flinch when people tell us about the things that they're convinced are from God when they're not. Prayer. Psalm 25:2, O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Psalm 25:3, yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Psalm 25:20, O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Barbara Marx Hubbard, premier spokesperson for the New Age, says that there's an alternative to Armageddon. That alternative to Armageddon is the planetary Pentecost, when the whole world has a Pentecostal experience that will make even, they say, the fundamentalists join in. This peace plan and this expectation of world peace and an avoidance of Armageddon, remember, Armageddon, that's prophecy. Jesus was prophesying in Revelation 1. It's going to come to pass someday. Rick Warren in The Purpose-Driven Life says that in essence, Jesus said, prophecy is none of your business. You really, none of you should be here if you listen to Rick Warren. Prophecy is none of your business? And David Jeremiah says that prophecy is really important, and then he endorses Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life. Does that make any sense? I don't think so. Expect the world to try and terrorize you and make you fearful. Psalm 18:4, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Response to the world when it tries to make you fearful. Philippians 1:28, in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 118:6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. John 14:27, Jesus said, peace I leave unto you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Prayer, Psalm 64:1, hear my voice, O God, in my prayer, preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Next, expect the adversary to try to wear you down and make you faint. Psalm 24:10, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Revelation 2:3, and hast borne and hast patience, for, and they are commended, for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Response to those wearing you down and making you faint. Psalm 27:13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Luke 18:1, and he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that man ought always to pray and not to faint. Isaiah 40:31, But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Prayer. Psalm 119:28. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. And I think last for our purposes, expect the world to try to shake you from your steadfastness. 2 Peter 3:17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Response to those who try to shake you from your own steadfastness. 1 Corinthians 57:58. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hebrews 3:13. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews 3:14. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Psalm 16:8. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Matthew 24:12-13. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, but he that shall endure until the end shall be saved. Prayer, Psalm 33:22. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. We expect to see the Lord. We look up, and we know that our redemption draweth nigh. We are to continue in the faith. Now tell me if this is being negative, if Christians are negative. Love your enemies. Love your neighbor as yourself. Always be thankful. Always rejoicing. Glory in tribulation. Hopeful, faithful, joyful, performing good works. Look up, patient, forgiving others, not worried. Run the race. Continue. Endure to the end. Fight the good fight. Contend for the faith. Keeping God's word. Keeping the faith. Holding fast to sound words. Holding fast to Jesus' name, holding fast our profession, stand fast, can't spare them which are evil, hating evil, pressing on, valiant for the truth, love of the truth, faithful unto death, strengthening the things that remain, being watchful, trying them which say they are apostles and are not, it's not denying the faith, charity, rightly dividing the word of truth, having the full armor of God, prayerful, continuing on and on. Charge, John 9:4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And to conclude, and think about this one, Psalm 92:7-13. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. Mine eye also shall see my desire on my enemies, and my ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this conference. Thank you for the encouragement that you give us in the face of adversity. This is not a nice world. This is not a big party that we're all going to in this world. You've warned us of the things that are coming, and we see them upon us. Give us the strength as we leave this conference to take your word with us and to be strong in you. You are our defense. You are our Savior. You are our Lord. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.